Today I'd like to highlight the work of some of the important new media journalists who are working tirelessly to bring the real news to the people, free of corporate control and influence. So let's start by listening to an extract from an interview that I conducted this week with James Evan Pilato, the host of the Media Monarchy radio broadcast and a webmaster of MediaMonarchy.com. The Media Monarchy radio broadcast, also of course available as a podcast, is an incredible source of news and information. And although I consider myself something of a news junkie, I always, always encounter news stories that I had never heard about when I listened to this podcast. So it's one that I do genuinely recommend to my listeners. And of course, you can access it at MediaMonarchy.com. On that website, you'll also find thoroughly researched news stories that are placed in their proper context. I think one of the powers of the new media paradigm is that unlike the establishment media, new media, run by citizen journalists, often links to the original sources of material. So, for example, when MediaMonarchy.com reports on a new government white paper or a think tank report, it actually links to the original report, as well as numerous other stories from the past which put those reports in their proper context. Again, MediaMonarchy.com is an excellent source of information that I highly recommend to my listeners. But right now, let's take a listen to part of the interview that I conducted with James Evan Pilato, so we can find out more on his take about the new media paradigm and the importance of websites like MediaMonarchy.com. Well, why don't you describe your site and your show for those who may not have heard or encountered it before?
MediaMonarchy.com started as a website that something, you know, initially I was just posting maybe a few times a week initially when I started, appropriately enough, on September 11th, 2005 is basically the official launch point for MediaMonarchy.com. And in the beginning, I didn't quite have a focus for it and found myself kind of floundering, and that's why I maybe didn't post very much to it. What happened was I actually moved from West Virginia to Oregon, and when I found myself in Oregon for a while without any friends so much and couldn't find work, I ended up spending a lot more time on the website. So being able to spend more time, of course, posted more to it, started to get more traffic, started to get more feedback. When I was able to get steady work, that's what let me start the radio show. I found myself, I couldn't really spend time volunteering, you know, at some of the local radio stations when I wasn't even making any money. But the moment I got a job, then I knew I could start doing a radio show. So I contacted a local, at the time, pirate radio station called the Portland Radio Authority. And they were initially doing an LPFM or low-power FM broadcast here in Portland, Oregon. They started to become more popular, and the Oregonian, the paper of record here in Oregon, wanted to do a story about them. And they said, yes, of course, you know, we'd love the attention, just don't say where we are. Of course, the interview and the article came out that more or less pinpointed where they were. A couple days later, the FCC showed up at their location with a cease and desist order. What happened then was they, of course, stopped the LPFM signal and just went online. At that point, a lot of people quit, and I think a lot of people quit either because it lost its outlaw appeal because it wasn't illegal anymore, and maybe a lot of people didn't want to do it if it was just on the Internet. So that opened up a lot of slots at Portland Radio Authority, and I hopped right on and started doing my show in October of 2006, and now coming up this weekend will be episode 112. So it's all been done pretty much by myself. It's a one-man band. So I feel like it has been growing at just the right pace for me to be able to take care of it myself.
Excellent. Well, that's a very informative story in a number of different respects. But today on the Corbett Report, we're discussing the idea of the new media, which is obviously a term that's open to interpretation. But, of course, you use the term media in the name Media Monarchy, which I think is a great name, by the way. So why don't you tell us about the nature and the impetus behind using that name to describe what you're doing?
I have to give credit to my girlfriend. She coined the name Media Monarchy long before the website or the radio show were around. We were always, between my girlfriend and also friends that I used to play music with and do media with, we were always just kind of thinking of cool names, either for bands or for websites. So Media Moniker was the name that I had just written down. And as the website sort of began, it just was the sort of light bulb of, oh, Media Monarchy would be a great name for this because it has monarchy with the sort of governmental control feel to it and media. So it's perhaps a kind of tongue-in-cheek title. You could think of Media Monarchy as a very bad thing, or you could look at Media Monarchy as a great thing. I like to cite Jello Biafra, who's the ex-lead singer of the Dead Kennedys, who are a huge influence on me. He always said, don't hate the media, become the media. And I think that's been something that not only through the site, but through most of my life, I've tried to slowly get a handle on. So instead of hating the television and hating radio and hating all these things, what's happened in the last 10 plus years with technology is that we can become the media. And even within just the last few years, with things like YouTube and podcasts and iTunes. You said it, I believe, on the previous episode, that we're living in one of the most amazing times in human history. We're literally living through another Gutenberg era, where the sum of human knowledge is at our fingertips, and you just have to want to go dig into it.
James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Once again, I would recommend that my listeners go and listen to the interview in its entirety on the homepage at CorbettReport.com under the Interviews tab. If you do listen to the rest of that interview, you'll find that James Evan Pilato and I go on to talk about We Are Change and the effect that its members are having in redefining citizen journalism. And of course, We Are Change is an organization that I have featured in numerous previous podcast episodes, as I find it to be one of the most exciting groups bringing real questions to politicians. Of course, We Are Change is on the forefront of this new media paradigm, as well as the various 9/11 truth groups that have sprung up around the world that are continuing to confront politicians on the lies and obfuscations surrounding the events of 9/11.